they murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, here we go. The first preseason game is in the books. The one only preseason game at M&T Bank Stadium. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, he was there. He was one of the fans in the stands. Fans in the stands are back. How great is that? Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Seems like Ravens are continuing the streak. The Ravens have not lost a preseason game since September 3rd, 2015.
Yeah, I think this is now their 18th.
Yeah, 18 games. I think it said something about this. Is it the second longest streak? It's one of these weird stats. And I mean, again, you don't really count the wins and losses in preseason, but how about it, man? It's pretty something to be prideful of. And I remember listening to the post-game show on the way back home from the game. Obviously, we'll talk about my experience that. I was listening to the post-game show, and they were alluding to Harbaugh always said, hey, if you're going to keep score, you might as well be a winner, right? Unless right. Why you're going to keep score. So it's, again, we alluded to it in the first show, right? Kicking off the preseason, that the main focus on preseason is health. You evaluate your players first, and then health is kind of like that 1A, it's got like that 1 and 1A, right? You evaluate, and you're hoping you can get out unscathed. And then Harbaugh's probably, okay, well, I want to win the game too. And it was crazy because the way the game was, and I kind of want to work backwards here and start, but the way the end of the game was, I'm thinking, don't kick a field goal, Saints. But I actually forgot the rule change. There's no overtime. So, because I was even thinking back in my mind, and I had to be corrected by a fan in the stands. It was kind of funny because I was like, I don't want this game to go. Not that, I mean, it had nothing to do with Saturday night, but it's just like, you don't want a preseason game to drag on to overtime, and then you're worried about more injuries and all that. And you're like, really? Right. But I did forget the new NFL rule change in 2021. There was no overtime in the preseason, so preseason can end in a tie, and that's probably the only one and only time I'm okay with a tie in sports, because it preseason, it doesn't matter. You can tie all three games and go 0-0 and 3. How about that? Set right. A new record and tie all three games. That'd be unprecedented. But yeah, man, but right, you know, the way that it ended, it was actually fitting, and the Ravens preserved the win. But hey, it's a win. Now actually seeing game footage of the Ravens, man. Yeah, what were your thoughts? What did you think of the body work the Ravens did on Saturday night?
Well, I got to say the defense, you know, we were talking last week about how we barely even spoke about the defense because we were kind of confident.
They must have listened to our show and said, you know what? You're not going to talk about us. Now you're going to talk about us. They kind of forced the issue.
Yeah,
I was like, absolutely. Seriously, man.
The defense looked fantastic. Patrick Queen, of all people out there, you know, he had a good rookie year. It didn't knock anybody's socks off, but it was still a good year. But he came out and he was swinging, and he looked fantastic in this preseason. I was really impressed with him. The defense looked top notch. I mean, they looked mid-season form at this point, so I was really happy to see that. Now the offense, you know, they took up the majority of our show last week, and I think they're probably going to take up the majority of the show this week as well, because they're still a little suspect, you know. They are definitely not 100%. We didn't see all the pieces that we're going to see in the regular season, which might be a good thing, because that way no one can get hurt. But that offense definitely is a work in progress. It is not the offense we're going to see in the regular season, and there's definitely some holes that need to be filled, and there's still a lot of question marks. That's what the preseason's for, of course, to kind of figure out those question marks and fix those issues. But there's still a lot of issues on offense.
There is. And speaking to that, I know a lot of folks you know, were focusing on the offensive line. You know, the line, we understand it wasn't without all the starters. So I'm going to reserve my judgment for when all the starters are in. I mean, J.K. Dobbins, you know, played a little bit, you know, and that was a frustration all night, right? It was the line was just really just a sieve all night. You know, letting, you know, pass rushers in, the quarterback, Tristan McSorley, didn't have enough time pretty much all night. Now we knew he's bothered by back spasms, and we know the impact there. Obviously, during the game, we didn't know that, and we're all being critical of him. Like, come on, dude. Like, you want to solidify the QB2 position. You're not doing a very good job at it, and it was atrocious all night on the offensive line. I mean, and on the offensive side of football, starting with the line and then trickling down the quarterback. You know, the running game was non-existent. There was no rhythm on offense. Again, we're not comparing Trace to Lamar. We know Lamar is the show and everything runs through him, and we get that. But you can kind of see the makeup of the offense. I want to pose a question to you, man. Do you think we're in trouble? Now, starters or not, I'm talking scheme and personnel and how the makeup of this team runs. In seeing Huntley in there, you can see the sense of a difference in the game flow, right? Trace was in there. Nothing was right. And again, back spasms – we didn't know during the game he had those. So you had to go off by what you knew during the game. Huntley gets in there. It literally looked like Lamar, you know, Lamar-ish offense. You know, there was some rhythm to it. They were starting to get going. My question to you is, do you think the Ravens are in trouble in that regard, that they're kind of one-dimensional? Is it like a Huntley's kind of like that hybrid Lamar, right? Where if you get that pocket passer, like a Masurly that replaced, I know he replaced Lamar in the Browns Monday night game, which ultimately he got hurt and Lamar came back with the miraculous finish. We know how that storybook ending happened. But, you know, do you think the Ravens are in trouble with the schemes there, given that, you know, Huntley had more rhythm? Or do you basically think it's just because Huntley's a more athletic, has more athleticism and wasn't bothered by a back spasm and just had that creativity go about him, because he was rushing for first downs. He was making plays, getting out of the pocket. He, after one game, we already now know, you know, injury or not, the quarterback play, QB2 is solidified with Huntley right now leading the charge with two games of play, but we'll see how it plays out. But what do you think with the schemes there?
You know, it's hard to say, because like you said, we didn't know on Saturday that Trace McSorley was dealing with these back spasms, and now he's out for a couple weeks. So
exactly,
it really was that was the biggest storyline going into the first preseason game, was who's going to be backing up Lamar, who's going to be the guy, who's the number two. And we were going in there and looking through that game after that first half, I was like, man, Trace, you definitely didn't solidify yourself as the breakout number two. And then Huntley comes in and he looks great. You can tell Lamar's a big fan of his. Like, there's definitely some favoritism there. I don't think Lamar was really hiding that on the sideline. But at the end of the game, I'm like, all right, there's our number two. I think he's our guy. You know, he got into the end zone and he was doing what he had to do. And he was being a little different than Trace, who was not really doing much in the pocket. But now you find out it's because he wasn't 100%. So it's kind of hard to judge him for that. But you do have to worry about that. Trace McSorley, you know, he couldn't even finish last year. That's why Huntley was here in the first place. Can the guy stay healthy? I think maybe injury aside, your number two, you got to go with Huntley. And I kind of liked it back in the day when it was Joe Flacco and Tyrod Taylor, because Tyrod Taylor was so different than Joe. So nice. Yeah, it was so nice because you got to see both of these guys play the same position in different ways. So like you're saying, does it make it kind of one-dimensional? It kind of does if we do go with Lamar and Huntley as the number one and number two. Whether that's the case or not, or could they bring in McSorley as a number three and go with that three-quarterback scheme like we've seen in the last couple years? It's hard to tell after one game if we are one-dimensional, but I think maybe this game, number two, I assume Huntley will be the number one quarterback in this second preseason game. Let's see how many quarters this guy plays. Let's see how he does this time around. And it really could show what the Ravens are going to need from that potential third QB. Because like you said, I do think Lamar and Huntley have a lot of the same skill set. And I think if Lamar were to go down, you know, knock on wood, that doesn't happen. And we see Huntley, I think that a lot of other teams are going to be like, all right, we prepared for Lamar. We know what to kind of expect from this guy. So we're going to kind of protect, or we're going to go after the ball like he were Lamar. And that could come back to the Ravens and kind of bite him in the butt.
Yeah, it could. I mean, either way you break it down, it could certainly, you know, sneak up on him in that regard with the teams, you know, snuffing out the schemes. But, you know, I think for overall, the offense did find, you know, an early edge there in the QB race. It was a weird game to really gauge the offense just because there's just so many starters out, right? I mean, the receivers, you know, really didn't play. No, that could obviously, you know, Beaton is still out with the injury. He had successful surgery. Everything's going to go there well, hopefully for a good September return, get back healthy. And but what I was most impressed with was, as bad as the offense sputtered, it was only two turnovers total for the team in four quarters of football first downs. I mean, you know, getting back on the defensive talk here, that, again, that's, you know, transitioning there. That's kind of really why I was really impressed with the offense in total. As bad as they sputtered, couldn't get anything going, you know, they took care of the football for the most part. There was a few last, we know Huntley lost the football on that fumble. He wants it back, but redeemed himself from the drive, had a good throw there on the sideline to come back. He's just got to go to home the football. He got to get down. He's trying to make a play. You know, it's a difference. Lamar usually would just run out of bounds. Obviously, Lamar's way faster in that regard, but we're not going to compare the players there. Getting back to the stars of the show, man, I mean, you know, it was nothing for a while, and there was a little struggle there, and then obviously we got the Justin Tucker 50-plus field goal, yard field goal to get the Ravens on the board, and then obviously they lost the lead. But, you know, the Ravens did a good job with the Saints' attack of snuffing out and stopping those drives and getting the turnovers. I mean, the Saints are driving deep in the territory at one point in the red zone, and Ravens got the forced fumble, and then they got the interception, and then on two consecutive plays, I heard the comparisons of Patrick Queen to Ray Lewis of old, man, young Ray Lewis, where, you know, he had a stop on the left, where I was sitting, it was on to my right. On the field, obviously, you know, if you're looking at the offensive and defensive front, it was on the right side where I was sitting of the sideline, and he tracked that. I think it was a screen pass, if I remember. I had to go back to that sequence. It was either a rush to the left or it was a screen pass to the left, and he snuffed it out, and it was a tackle. And then I was like, dude, he's fast. And then literally the guy behind me was like, I feel a sack coming on here. And then literally the very next play sequentially, Patrick Queen, you know, the quarterback rolled out to the right, had no time, and Patrick Queen had him dead to rights and got him for the sack. You know, so two plays in a row, Patrick Queen was dynamic. There was a question out there posed by a few people, right? Going forward, who would get the green dot? Or not only that, but how long would it take for Patrick Queen to get the green dot? And what we mean by green dot is calling the shots for the defense. And I think his time's coming quick because he showed – huge leaps and bounds of growth in year two already in that game. And the starters that we did see on defense a little bit, you know, obviously Patrick Queen, Marlon Humphrey was out there for a little bit. Even Marcus Peters was out there for a little bit. So you've seen some sprinkles of starters. I was looking at a way on the sidelines, you know, his inner, the way, not the sidelines, but the way he was, you know, being utilized. Now, I thought I was overall impressed. I've seen him do a couple of swim moves, got snuffed out. But overall, I think the defensive line will certainly hold its own as the starters get there in gel. But, you know, the defense stole the show that night, six total turnovers. Obviously, the one at the end to really stop the Saints from potentially either going ahead with the touchdown to take the victory away from the Ravens and also either tying the game and sending it maybe into a potential tie in overtime. So, but all in all, I was pleased overall with how the Ravens handled themselves. No injuries on the field, if anything. I know there was a stinger, you know, that was suffered there on the sidelines a little bit ago, late in the game. But other than that, I was really pleased with how this game went.
Were you surprised at all that Lamar didn't even dress? Like, not even one play out on the field, because he missed 10 days due to testing positive to COVID. I was expecting to see him on the field maybe longer than normal because of all that time he missed. But is it because of, you know, the offensive line having zero starters, you know, they were a little worried that maybe they wouldn't be able to protect their star QB. What's your line of thinking of why Lamar wasn't out there?
I think it was lack of reps. I think my only take is that is just the lack of reps. He hasn't had enough in practice and didn't want to rush him out there. I'm already hearing reports this week. You know, he's zinging the ball, looking great, looking like he really didn't lose 10 days of practice. So I think the Ravens are just being careful, even though they have one game less to do so. I was okay with, I expected him not to play. So when I saw he was actually scratched, I was like, okay, that makes sense. You know, you don't want to rush him back in and him get so excited and barring any fluke injuries out there. So I was okay with it. I was certainly okay with the healthy scratch there of him not playing and getting his opportunity in the next preseason game. It just sucks, I guess, for the fans who obviously we understand the preseason crowd, you know, it's a little different. On Saturday night, too, you've seen a lot of families there and people who unfortunately couldn't afford tickets probably in the regular season. It's a different environment, not to take their kids to that kind of environment, not to say it's not a kid-friendly environment, but we know regular season football is a totally different beast there. And with the ticket prices being what they are, I can see why. People are probably disappointed not to see Lamar play. I certainly understand it from a football standpoint, a personnel standpoint, to leave him out. And it was justified to probably introduce him here correctly in the second preseason game for at least a quarter.
What was it like to be at the bank on Saturday night? I mean,
bro, it was amazing.
Judging from TV, I got to say, I was a little shocked that I saw so many empty seats. I thought that that game was going to be sold out. I thought, you know, everyone around town was going to be so hungry for football after missing so many months of not being able to be there. But I mean, the crowd was loud. It just was a little bit more empty than I was expecting.
Yeah. And putting it in perspective, I was also shocked too, given your take on that, being that we're so starved, even if it is, you know, preseason football, you know, it's an event that we all get to go to and enjoy, right? I mean, you know, it was said that the stadium practice sold out, but when I watched highlights, it didn't really feel like the stadium practice was even sold out with the tickets that they pretty much had allotted for. So in regards to the attendance, you know, it is what it is. It didn't really faze me or bother me, but yeah, I like to, you know, Ravens flock to be a little bit more involved, more so because Cowboys fans are showing us up. I don't know if you saw that, but apparently the Cowboys fans drew way a lot more. They had to turn fans away, and I think theirs was a stadium practice. I don't even think it was a preseason game. I think it was their stadium practice, unlike the Ravens practice. And they had a lot more fans in the stands as far as that's concerned. What was it like being there? It was actually great. I mean, we got down there. It was actually me and my dad. I took my dad to the game and enjoyed the moment with him. You know, just being down in Baltimore City, seeing the cars, seeing actually people tailgating, you know, playing cornhole, enjoying, you know, their food and drinks and laughing and having a good time and hearing live music and, you know, people having their speakers up. I mean, it was the first time I seen the parking lot full since January 2020. It was the first time I sat in my physical seats, my season ticket seat, since January 2020, since the Ravens fell to the defeat to the Titans in the divisional round of the playoffs in 2019-2020 playoffs. That was the last time I sat in my seats, because obviously I was a part of the one and only regular season game last year and the crazy year we had. But keep in mind, remember, I was in lower level. You know, I didn't get a chance to use my tickets up top. So it was awesome to be at that vantage point and getting up there again and seeing familiar faces and being welcomed back. It was actually pretty normal. You know, getting in the stadium was pretty normal. You know, getting access to the services and to the staff, they were great. And I got my first dibs on Jimmy's new location in the stadium.
Oh yeah.
Treated my dad to a crab cake, his first crab cake egg roll. He was pretty excited about this. They are. So they are. We did the crabby nachos and the crab cake egg rolls at Jimmy's. And so it was great. You know, got to enjoy Ravens football. My dad get Jimmy's. Not only that, but to get to see the familiar faces. I saw faces I haven't seen in almost 2 years. You know, some of the regular season regulars that are season ticket holders showed up. Some of them didn't. And of course, right away, no bat suit tonight. What's up with that? I'm like, nah, that's not a preseason kind of thing. Even the red eyes are like, you don't have any of your stuff. When I'm like, nope, it's probably the one and only time you'll get to see me in kind of regular Ravens clothes, just chilling in the stands. But that's what it's about. It's about just being in the environment, enjoying the food, enjoying the talks. I mean, I saw Captain Defense. He was there. He stopped by our section. You know, it was actually great to just be a part of that and be a part of the festivities. You know, seeing the Ravens live in my seats for the first time, and we stayed through the whole game, obviously, you know, being under the lights. It was great, man. So I was really excited to be back at the bank. And again, you know, with all the fans there, we were like, you know, I was impressed to see some of the families that stayed. Like my dad was saying, even on a late Saturday night, the game, you know, went past 10 o'clock PM. And, you know, the families that were around us, it wasn't like, and they had kids there and they were still eating. They were eating, having a ball and enjoying the game and enjoying the time. And at least in our little section, no one really left. I think one guy actually rolled out at halftime. Of course we gave him crap for that, but like, come on, man, like first game back and you're dipping already. Like, you know, but it just, you know, it just was really awesome to be back, you know, in some sort of sense of normality, you know, high-fiving fans, you know, really, you know, like getting back to the celebrating, getting back to talking and catching up on people. You know, I was catching up with people and like their lives and how things have been. And of course I was sharing at halftime. I shared with the people around me, my skydiving adventure. I was like, hey, I did this a couple weeks ago. And they're like, what? And we were catching up. So it was great, man. It was actually a great time to be back at the stadium, to be back in my seats, just be back after it. And I really can't wait to see what's in store for the Chiefs game. And everybody was like, see you Chiefs game. And still got a few more preseason games to get to and got to get healthy and all that. But I think things are starting to shape up. You're seeing the team really gel. They're actually in Carolina this week and doing joint practices with the Carolina Panthers, their next opponent, preseason game number two away, as we alluded to earlier. Ravens don't return to Baltimore until week two of the NFL season. They're away. They're kind of semi away. They play in Washington the final week, which is really technically a home game anyway. And then obviously we can go down and see them. And then they go on the road to Vegas, start Monday Night Football. So, you know, there's opportunity to see the Ravens here. But yeah, I mean, the Carolina game's coming up. I fully expect, if I had to say on it, I feel like all starters should be on this one because I don't think they're going to play in that kind of final preseason game. You might see a couple starters sprinkled in there, but I think this is going to be your real deal as far as simulated regular season football. I fully expect the offensive line to be there. I fully expect, you know, barring the health of Hollywood Brown, to be out there. I fully expect Mark Andrews and Dobbins. And even though we know Dobbins was in for a few series this past game, I expect Lamar to be under center. I expect the full defensive unit to be out there. I think you're really going to get to see if the Ravens are all about this come preseason game against the Panthers.
Yeah, so we know that the Ravens are in Carolina now. They had some joint practices already. Speaking of Hollywood Brown, anybody out there listening, if they know where I can get one of those red eye headbands, you know, tweet me a link at Brando Cash. Let me know because I've been looking for one of them. I want.
I sort of got something like that.
Yeah, that was like the towel they gave out.
That was the practice. Yeah, you'd probably turn that into a bandana.
Maybe, I don't know. I got a big head. I don't know if that'll fit around my giant head.
Come on.
But, My godson got one for free for doing the football activities at the stadium practice. So, like, he's got himself a Hollywood Brown jersey. I got it for him for Christmas. But now he's got the headband to go with it. So I want one, too. So anybody out there knows of one, let me know. Send me a link. So, but
are you
anyway,
duct tape the one?
Duck.
I had to go there. You know how people do when they do those jerseys and they duct tape names? And
oh, yeah,
instead
I should
of getting
a new
jersey, they, like, get, like, remember how they did the Rice? I've seen people like put duct tape over Rice's name and put Dobbins and Barker. And I'm like, really? Like, it's funny to do that, but it's just like, really, guys? Like, are you duct taping the one and just keeping the five? Or are you going to do a Flacco jersey and put over Flacco's name and put Brown? What are you going
to
do?
I mean, that would be like the easiest thing to do. But like I got my godson that for Christmas, like just this past Christmas. So like he didn't even get like a full season in of that jersey without it being out of date. But look here, I got the towel. Let me.
See, there it is.
See, I can't even. Yeah, it doesn't stretch around.
It looks like
head.
Cobra Kai. Don't do that again. Or it looked like Good Burger. Remember the hats and Good Burger? That's what that looks like right now. You should screenshot that and freeze it.
Yeah, that's that'll be
movie.
Our new cover.
That's a good
photo.
Movie. Yes, do it. See, you always get me with those stupid shots. So this time you get one. You do it so subtly. Like I'll look when you post the show, and I'm like, when did you get that screenshot? Like, what are you doing over there? I don't know. Man.
I got my ways.
But I'm gonna get you.
Let's talk. I hope not. Let's talk a little bit about this Carolina game coming up. Like you said, there's going to be some starters. Unfortunately, Marlon Humphrey did go down earlier this week. He sat out on the practice on Wednesday. They said it's not serious. They're just giving him some time off. So I would assume Marlon Humphrey would not be playing in Carolina. But good news on the flip side is that Big Country Ben Cleveland was out for a concussion. He was back on Wednesday. Didn't have a full practice, but kind of inching his way back. So potentially we could see Big Cleveland or Big Country Ben Cleveland on the field. In Carolina. Right. So I'm excited to see that. I want to see what Big Country can bring to the table.
Bring to the table is James Prochet. His stock is rising.
Hey, he's been bringing it all training camp.
His stock is rising, and I dropped him on my dynasty league. This is why I'm so bad at fantasy football. I don't know why I play. I'm like, I'll make roster what? Space.
Why you play? Like, you're in like 18 no, leagues.
I know. Well, I'm like, James Prochet is not going to make the team. I'm going to make room to make for my draft picks. And then like 2 weeks later, it's like James Prochet is the first one that shows up to camp. His stock's right. And I'm like, why? Like I'm so bad at fantasy. But yeah, his stock's rising very quickly. And I feel like he's going to make the team hands down. So good for him. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's funny, though, because he's looked fantastic at training camp. However, in that first preseason game, he really didn't make a lot of noise. It was a pretty quiet performance. So let's see what he can do in this game. I mean, he's impressed everybody on the practice field, but let's see if that can translate to being, you know, in an NFL game.
That's what I want to see. I want to see more of him involved in the offense. You know, again, practice is one thing, but, the observations going from there to the game is another. And I really want to see his transition on how that could work. You know, a couple other players that really stood out to me, Wade, I feel like, Wade made a good impact on Saturday night too. You know, seeing some of these rookie impacts and second year, third year players, that's what we're excited about. That's the nucleus and the future of the team. And that's who we really want to see. And yeah, it's all about the good veterans and we love those guys and what they contribute, but this is again, where, I mean, jobs are on the line. This is where the team's made. And I'm really excited to see, in this next preseason game, who's going to emerge and shine, because there were certainly some players to rave about, as we know, going on the starters, Patrick Queen, all that, but, I didn't want to do this late in the show, but, starting off the segment, one of my favorite segments we love to do is that someone to rave about segment is I want to rave about one of the backup running backs. Is probably you probably really, really haven't heard his name much. It's Tyson Williams. I think Tyson Williams made a case over Justice Hill at this point to really make a case for running back 3, maybe behind Gus Edwards. He was second on the team in rushing 2 yards behind Huntley. I know Huntley had the long 17-yard touchdown, the 17-yard run. Yeah, the 7-yard run for a touchdown. But Williams had the second longest rushing of the night in 18 yards. McSorley had a 22-yard scamper, eluding some tacklers there and some pass rush. Williams had an 18-yard run. His one run of 18 yards accounted for those of the 41 that he had. He had 10 carries for 41, 4.1 yards a carry. After one game, I think right now, if you're going to start doing the shuffles and like, okay, Huntley's now QB2, and you're going to look at the depth chart and kind of try to make the depth chart what it is week to week until the regular season happens, I'm going to make a case for a Tyson Williams RB3 at this point on the depth chart, man. That's what I'm excited to see, see if he can emerge at that and not, try to build on his game after week one.
Interesting. That's a good point. The one guy I want to bring up real quick, he's a cornerback, and I wasn't impressed with him when I saw him at training camp. Chris Westry, number 30. He was a guy that I thought wasn't really putting a lot of effort in when I was at training camp, but he's been getting some rave reviews from scouts and some media personnel saying how great he's looked on other days. So I don't know, maybe it was the heat or whatever, he didn't like it. But the only thing he really did in this past preseason game that anyone's taking note of is he got that 15-yard taunting penalty. That kind of stuff can't fly, especially with this Ravens organization. Harbaugh is not going to be okay with that. And he even said on Monday, I believe, that was a teachable moment. We're going to move on from that. It's a teachable moment. He'll learn from that. So I don't know. Cornerback is kind of a crowded area to be in right now, but I don't know. This guy's in his second year. He's getting 15-yard taunting penalties. I mean, that's definitely not going to fly. Let's see what he brings in the second game. Let's see if he learned from that mistake he made. But I don't know. I haven't been personally very impressed with his work, but I see a very small sample size. There's a lot of people that are way better and way better scouts than I am that are seeing way more from that guy. So I don't know. He's a guy I think you kind of have to keep an eye out on this game, see if he has improved from the last game.
Yeah, it's all about redemption. I mean, you can certainly, you know, learn and grow, you know, through these games and through practices and ultimately try to meet the team. And that's what everybody's goal is here, and trying to meet that final rosters and get the roster spot solidified. And it's going to be interesting to see because it happened so quick. I had to ask for feedback on what really happened because it was right on the sideline. I'm like, all right, what happened now? And with the new taunting rules in place, the NFL, we already hear the new fun league being thrown around again before the even season starts because, you know, let the players play, let them have fun. And I feel like if it's not an obscene gesture or words are said, you know, derogatory to a team. Again, I don't play football. I'm not in the NFL. The rule really doesn't affect me as a fan. I mean, it sucks if it comes at a critical point in a game and we're all going to gripe about it. But someone alluded to it online this week. You know, especially with the logo gate with Titans, right? You know, the Titans stomped on our logo and all that. And we returned a favor after we beat them in their house in the wildcard game. Like, that's part of football. That's the fun of it. Like, you know, stomping on logos, doing this, like you're not going up to players and flipping a bird. You're not calling them derogatory names. You're not going over the sideline and bashing their equipment. Like, you're not doing anything harmful. So I feel like, you look at taunting, like I felt like the Deion Sanders high step into the end zone when his interceptions was taunting. Like, that's part of the game. You know, it's, you know, I've heard it from players themselves being interviewed about it and said, like, with the – remember how the whole things with the props and the touchdown celebrations and the NFL kind of policed that out? It was said by one of those receivers that scoring in the NFL is hard. Scoring touchdowns is a premium. When you do that, that's the pinnacle of the success during a game for an offense. That's the whole goal, scoring touchdowns.
Right. And
when you score a touchdown, that's something to celebrate. Like, that's a player getting a sack. When you get a sack, that's something to celebrate. It ain't like you're going to – it's different if the player, you know, stands over the quarterback and, like, you know, does the DX suck it thing. It's like, oh, you know, that's different. That's what we're talking about. But like, when you celebrate on your own, it's not directed towards a player. That's where I think this is going to get really chippy in that fine line. So again, I don't know what really happened with that taunting penalty. You got to get it under control and discipline. I like to see him rein it in, see if he can build upon that. But again, I don't know what the context to it was. And that's the whole thing. If you get another one, you're disqualified the game. It's kind of like the first one's a warning, second one, you're gone no matter what. But it's going to be interesting to see. And there was actually a poll online. It was actually, I don't know if you saw it, it was pretty awesome. It says, you know, what's the over under that how many taunting penalties is Marcus Peters going to get? Cause he's going to be the ringleader of it this year. But then also it said, Someone said, when the Ravens end up playing the Titans, how many is Lamar going to get? Because it seems like when the Ravens play the Titans, Lamar, it's like not even the Chiefs. It's like the Titans for some reason until he got that playoff win. It was like, remember how he did the whole showboat with the run and like looking at showing the ball and he laying down, like that's the part. And that's what Lamar alluded to. It's part of the game. It's fun, you know, and we don't play it. We watch him do it. And it's entertainment, but that's the thing. NFL players are entertainment. Like, I don't know what this whole policing and taunting thing, if you want to be gentlemen, go play on a golf course. You know, that's the gentleman's game. This is football. You know, you hit people for a living, right? You know, you got to hit them. I mean, it's just, again, that's just my take on it all. And I'm sorry, I didn't want to get in a rabbit hole, but as soon as you brought up the taunting, I was like, I saw it in my notes. I'm like, that's something I wanted to talk about because it was definitely at the forefront of my mind. And it was talked about during the game too, saying like, oh, this is going to be, this is going to wreck the game flow and all that. And it's going to cause us to get a stupid penalty over nonsense. I'm like, but it's like a heated moment. And it was after the game, but just remember Richard Sherman's infamous interview at the end of the championship game, when the Seahawks beat the Niners, and he's like, it's an emotional game. You know, it could be the Ravens could play the Steelers, could be a crucial third down and get a sack on Big Ben to end the game. And someone might be celebrating and then they might throw the flag, 15 yards Steelers first down and the Steelers go and score and win a touchdown. And then now it's conspiracy. Now it's all, it's fake. It's fixed. That's the stuff I'm talking about. Like the refs really got to really be careful here And they really got to understand, like, it, again, it's about direction. Is it directed? Is it derogatory? This is my take. I don't know what your feelings are about it. I know, you know, me and you kind of, you know, had a good conversation back when about the logo gate, you know, about the, you know, there's a difference between classy and sportsmanlike, but again, it's an emotional game. And if it's like that, like, it's the jabs and it's the ebbs and flow of the games, you know, it's not to be disrespectful. It's just like, hey, it's that statement. They did it to us before. We won. Now we're going to do it. And that was it. That was kind of even Stevens. There's no, like, it doesn't keep going. It stops there. But there are certain parts of the game where I feel like it's allowable to a point, and you got to have fun a little bit, like scoring touchdowns, celebrating sacks, but just can't have it be derogatory and directed towards the players. That's where I think the line is drawn.
Yeah, the big one that was over this past weekend, I can't remember who it was, but I think it was a running back. He broke through like 10 players, and then he's flexing and everything like that.
I think the Colts. I think it was the Colts running back. Believe it or not.
Yeah, that's not a taunt. That's a celebration of like, look what I just achieved. What our guy did, you know, laughing at a player or pushing the player or something like that. That's a penalty.
Yeah, or point your finger in his helmet or pointing at him. Like I said, if it's directed towards that player, and there's what we're talking about, and that's where I'm like, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in the regular season, because it's not going to go over well at all.
Yeah. Now, the only other thing I think we really got to go over that happened this
week. If we must.
In Carolina, let's talk a little bit about Derek Wolfe. He's a guy that we talked about a lot last year because we were very impressed with what he was able to do on the field, but he also had a really hard time staying on the field. He was constantly hurt. He was constantly either during a game or even missing games at some point. He's a great talent, but, you know, on Wednesday of this week when he's in Carolina, he did get hurt on the field. He went down. He had a hard time getting up. He was able to get to the sideline using his own power. He didn't go to the locker room, so he did tough it out. He stayed out on the field. But I like Derek Wolfe a lot. He brings a ton of talent to this team. But it still, from last year even to this year, it worries me how much time or how many plays this guy is not on the field, because when he's on the field, he's fantastic, but he's got to be on the field to make those plays. He's tough as nails. I'll give him that 100%. He gets hurt, he gets back up, he makes, you know, takes a play or two off, and then he's back out there. Tough as nails. Can't take that away from him. But it worries me. Like, every time I see him down, I'm going to be like, oh, is this it for him? Is he out of the game now? Like, that is a worry of mine, but I still, like, I want him on that field.
Absolutely. You know, and when a player is really fragile like that and can just really is injury prone, it just really makes you frustrated and wonder, like, you know, what's the end game here? What can he contribute long term? Because you're right. If you're out there and you get whiffed on a play and get nicked up again, you know, injuries are part of the game, but when it's off and it's one specific player like Derek Wolfe, it really makes you put him under a microscope and kind of scrutinize it, just like you're doing, and you have every right to do, because it's like, okay, how much of it is a liability out there on defense if you know you put him out there for a couple of plays and come crunch time, he might not be available for you and you put a fresh body in? But that's where I think that's where they build the youth of this team and the nucleus and the depth, where they know a Derek Wolfe might not be as reliable and durable going through the season. So we need to put a fresh body in there to really pick up the slack. So I think where the concern is, I think the Ravens can certainly do a good job in really analyzing what they have on the team, really harvesting, you know, these games and evaluating the players and practices and preseason to really put some depth into that position and on that line. So I'm a big fan of Derek Wolfe. I love his work ethic, love what he's about, but again, if you can't stay healthy, how good are you? You know, and again, you know, you could be the Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame at your position, but you're going to get hurt all the time. It kind of reminds me, I know it's a different sport, but it kind of reminds me of Ken Griffey. How great a Ken Griffey could have been as a ball player. If he didn't get hurt, he kind of went to Cincinnati and it was like, you never heard from him again because he was hurt all the time. It's like, how much more could he padded their stats? And again, he was first ballot Hall of Famer, hands down all day long, but that's a player in a sport that comes to mind as soon as they hear often injured. It's like, just couldn't stay healthy, man. You always have these players. Like when you think about NBA, another reason, Derrick Rose is the NBA MVP of the league. Never heard from him again because he can't stay healthy. and that's the rent. I'm not comparing Derek Wolfe to these kind of players. They're high caliber players, but you get my point. You know, driving whom is, you know, you got to be reliable, got to stay healthy. But we understand it's a game, injuries, and you're putting your bodies on line. It's going to break down. But, you know, I just hope that the Ravens do a good job in harvesting talent, which we do. We got a great front office, and I know the Ravens will really do well in evaluating the talent that should be behind them.
All right. Well, that's all I got for my notes, Josh. Is there anything else you wanted to cover on this episode?
Absolutely. I'm gonna go into the mind of Eric DaCosta for a minute before we head out of here.
Okay.
Remember how last year he sprinkled some magic fairy dust on the Kare Vedvik pick in preseason, right, when he was kicking awesome and it turned into a great draft pick for us? And I think that draft pick was awesome. And and I think we have another one here. Jake Verity. He kicked a 50-yarder in the preseason game on Saturday night, and immediately the fans were like, what kind of draft pick is this guy going to be? Because it was funny, when he got brought in, the guy behind me was comical. I think he was behind me or sitting next to me. He stood up, and he's like, backup kicker? We don't need a backup kicker. Put Tucker back in again. And it was like – he knew it was a joke. It was funny. But then I'm thinking, like, when he booted that field goal and made it, I literally turned to my dad. I'm like, how high of a draft pick is this guy going to be? Because it is it's Vedvik all over again. And we understand it. Vedvik had the unfortunate incident that happened to him and all that, but it happened that it turned into a great return on investment for us. So now I'm interested to see what's Eric DaCosta waiting for. I'm surprised he hasn't flipped it for a draft pick already, but maybe he's looking to get another audition out of him. But I'm kind of like, sell very high at this point, because he made a 50-yard field goal just like Tucker did. And he booted it through well. So I'm like, don't put him out in the game on Saturday night and make him miss a couple. Like, hey, but who knows? I don't know what's going on there. But I fully expected him to be moved for a draft pick quickly. But I don't know what teams are out there in market for a kicker. I know the Vikings took a chance on Vedvik that one year, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think that draft pick we got from him turned into how we got Marcus Peters, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. Yep. I was hoping you would go to –
Justin Tucker is kind of like, you know, Hulk Hogan in the 80s, if you think about it. You know, Hulk Hogan, like, could do no wrong, and he was the baby face of the company, and you put anybody with Hulk Hogan, and they were instantly over with the crowd. So, you know, the Ravens, they sprinkle a little bit of Justin Tucker dust, you know, on these kickers.
Right.
And, you know, and just these guys are fantastic by comparison. You know, they learn from Tucker in this preseason, and then somebody goes, oh, okay, we need a kicker. Let's get a guy that learned something from Justin Tucker. Maybe he gave away a couple secrets, and that's how you get a draft pick or two out of the deal. I think this is brilliant business-wise for Eric DaCosta and you know, the front office of the Ravens to do this, you know? Get the best in the league, one of the best ever to play the game, a Hall of Fame kicker, you know, get him to teach some of these younger guys how to do certain things, and then you get yourself some draft picks that you can use for some trade bait later, or, you know, if they work out, hey, you got some freebie draft picks, fill up some holes next year. It's brilliant.
It is very brilliant. And that's why I was like, let's go inside the mind of Eric DaCosta and really see what's going to be cooking up there. What's cooking? I don't know. What's he waiting for? But I'm interested to see how that pans out and how they're going to use him. But we know the Ravens, they're going to carry one punter, Sam Cook, and one kicker, Justin Tucker. Rarely do you see any of those guys go down. So, I guess we'll wait and see approach on that one. But yeah, I certainly wouldn't make a point in bringing that to light. And really, it's intriguing, because it could lightning really strike twice for that. And can we deal a kicker for a great draft pick? And could that draft pick be in turn to make a trade or draft somebody? So you never know. But the pick before it ended up turning it out well in getting a second. We got more picks, and it's how the Ravens always operate. More picks, you can either select more players or you can trade more picks to get players, just like David Marcus Peters. So see how it pans out, man. See where Verity lands. And it's funny, people are calling him Veritas online. I was laughing at that. It's a Veritas or whatever. And they said, it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds, man. But yeah, the preseason, we're rolling on. Again, you know, the health of the team is relatively okay. And I can't wait to see what the Ravens have in store against Carolina. Maybe they go for 19 in a row and keep the streak alive, and maybe keep it 6 years running here. You know, they haven't, it's crazy, they haven't lost since the final preseason game in 2015, and they won, you know, 4 years and then some of games. So it's pretty awesome. So they won their 18th in a row, and they're going for 19. And it's just, again, fun to talk about. And it really holds no weight, no bearing on success of the regular season. Some people are alluding to how the Lions won all four of their preseason games and then went 0-16. And then some people alluded to how the Colts lost all four of their preseason games. And then, of course, they have Peyton Manning, and they always go like 11-12-0 to start the year every year. So preseason wins and losses have no bearing, but the streak is fun to talk about. It's more just for fanfare. I know Harbaugh wants to win the game, you know, and keep the players healthy in all regard. But I think it's just certainly fun to talk about. And I know I'm looking forward to it. And again, because we know the streak's there, it was kind of awesome when the Ravens actually, you know, solidified the game by getting that game clinching interception at the end. That, I think that's a lot of fans were excited about, because everybody knew as soon as it happened, everybody slapping high five, streak's alive. And we're all having fun with it. But I'm like, it's just, again, but then it also, it captivates you to tune into the preseason because the Ravens are doing so well. It's like, we got to watch, they got a winning streak going on, man. Like, it's 19 games in a row. And it's kind of funny how it's, you know, they can kind of keep that going as long as they can. It's fun to talk about, man. I mean, it's unprecedented. Again, it's something petty and little because it's preseason wins. Like, it doesn't matter, but apparently it's an official stat because if Adam Schefter is putting it out there that the Ravens won 18 consecutive games in the preseason, the second longest streak, I guess it means something. I don't know. Yeah. They don't get a trophy for it, but, you know, everybody's like, well, they win in the postseason. I get it. But, you know, hey, the Ravens have gotten their three consecutive years. Count your blessings. They've gotten the second most postseason wins since 2000. The Patriots double them up 16-30 pretty much, but count your blessings. It'll be okay.
Now, let me ask you, when we build a statue for Justin Tucker outside of M&T Bank Stadium, what pose is that statue going to be in? Is it going to be, you know, leg in the air after a kick? Is it going to be broad shoulders like he does? No.
Well, he kind of, before I answer that, he actually did something when Vevic made the kick, right? He did something where he was doing the whole, like, he made the 50-yarder, and he's going to sideline, and everybody's cheering. He was, like, doing the whole, like, bring it on. Like, yeah, I love this guy. He's so great. Because he's not cocky. Like, he's just, it's just funny. No, it's going to be the, I think it was during the Eagles game where they were in a black jersey. Remember the
whatever. He was dabbing.
Whatever that was. Yeah. I don't know. I guarantee you probably got a screenshot of that mess. Trying to dab on the video here. It should be that. That would be awesome. Like, get Justin Tucker dabbing statue. I'd be all over that.
Yeah. Like, it could almost be like you know, like, a motion one, you know, that went back and forth, you know, like the animatronic stuff, like back in the day.
Yeah. That would be pretty wild. I mean, you got the iconic pose of Ray dancing, so it's only fitting if you got Justin's leg raise. That'd be kind of crazy, though, getting statues, and you got like Johnny Unitas in the pose, and then you got Ray with this big monstrous pose, and then you got Justin Tucker with his leg out. It's like, okay, since Johnny Unitas was the Ravens fetish with the legs things, man, so like they always had the legs out. So I don't know. Right. This is funny, but I think the next statue should be an Ogden and a Reed, man. They should put all the Hall of Famer. It's kind of like not what they do with the Orioles, but they should feel like they do something like that, like. But they should do it for like the Hall of Famers. Not obviously we do the Ring of Honor and everything, you know, but the statues mean something. I feel like they should build statues just like that for Ogden and Reed and then any other, the future Hall of Famers that come down the Ravens pipeline. I feel like they should make that Unitas Plaza and really make it. I mean, I like it. It's called Unitas Plaza for a reason, but because he was the original statue and obviously Johnny U, he built Baltimore. He used Baltimore football, embodied it. And we know that's synonymous here, no matter if it's not a horseshoe or if it's a raven bird. But I feel like they should do that and rename it like maybe Hall of Fame Park or something like that. But I feel like they should pay homage to the Hall of Famers with statues is where I'm going with it.
Well, think about it, that we've already got Ravens Walk. Just line up Ravens Walk with all these different statues leading up to the stadium.
See, this is why you're the brains of the operation. Brilliant idea. Ravens Walk, line the statues. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All right.
And then they could put they can take Unitas Plaza because it's so open there and where the statues reside. I love the fact that they sit in front of the stadium, especially for picture's sake, but then they could put like a nice stage there and that's where they can probably do all their pre-games, right? Right out front of the stadium. And if whenever it comes in for the big games or ESPN or even with the Ravens local broadcast team, I know they're always to the side there but I feel like that could be an opportunity, man. Move the statues on the Ravens walk, lining in the way, getting into the stadium. And then, you know, that, and then they should put them right on the end there before you cross the street. And then right across the street, that's where they have the big stage and all that. That would actually look pretty cool. Nice.
Yeah.
We should submit our design plans to the Ravens right now.
I know. I hope somebody's listening. Come on, somebody. Ravens. Let's get to it.
Come on. We got some good things.
All right, Josh. Well, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Quote the Raven, never murr.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah, you're waiting for it. Why are we so corny? Why?
That's what I'm talking about. Why? I love it. I love it.
Why are we corny? Wah, wah, wah.
Well, you
get
guys,
that
if
Raven
you want
to get that,
I love
that's
it.
A knee slapper. Well, we can't do anything with your name, can we?
I know. I guess I don't know, man. That's a tough one. I guess will you protect
take
this
it
whole
to
task?
The house with Holt House?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm getting wound up. It's the end of the day. Please stop me.
I know.
Stop me
well,
anytime.
If you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always found at Italian GQ 52.
All right, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we're always putting out stuff that we find and we think you guys will enjoy there as well. I know it wasn't Ravens related, but pretty awesome of the Raiders to donate $30,000 to Darren Waller this week for him having 4 years of sobriety.
Congrats,
I think
my
that's
brother.
Fantastic. That's very cool. Very nice of the Raiders to do that. But hey, Darren Waller was a Raven at one point, but such, I mean,
and he got cut because of that.
He had
substance abuse problems, and he got cut because of it in the raid. He got his act cleaned up, and the Raiders gave him a chance, and now he's a premier player. And wish him all the best. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So had to share that with you guys as well. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts and Spotify. And guys, I do want to put this out there. We do know that there is an issue with Apple Podcasts. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it. It is an issue with the Apple Podcasts app and the iOS on iPhone. So, like we said, there are plenty of other places that you can listen to us. Unfortunately, you might have to go to one of those other places until Apple puts out a bug or, you know, an upgrade or something like that to the iOS or updates the app. Unfortunately, nothing we can do about it, but it's something that Apple just kind of has to figure out. But we are on other platforms, so if you want to check out Spotify or Google Podcasts, I use Overcast, so I can say that we are available on there. The shows do download, but that is an issue Apple has, unfortunately. So my other podcast, What the Puck, same thing's happening on Apple Podcasts. So there's unfortunately nothing we
get
can
it
do
together,
about that.
Together,
right,
Apple. Don't make
come
us
on,
threaten
you're
to
killing
go
us.
Google.
I mean, that's what we're doing. So everybody else go check that out. If you're having an issue with Apple Podcasts, listen to us on those other podcast apps as well. So that's it for the show this week. Guys, we got the Panthers coming up. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. That's what we're doing. It's not the Dillon Panthers. It's Carolina.
Can't lose. Can't lose.
But, Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Thank you, Brandon, man. It's been a great show, man. Preseason week two is rolling on. We're excited that Raven football is back. Can't you tell? Getting goofy a little bit on the call, but hey, it's what we love to do, talking Ravens football. Can't wait to get after it against the Carolina Panthers on Saturday night. Again, another Saturday night game. I'm loving these Saturday night preseason games. Maybe they keep that trend going. Pretty impressive to see them moving over from the Thursday night Bills to the Saturday night Bills. I like it. I like it a lot. But it's going to be great to see. Hopefully, I know Harbaugh hasn't released anything yet, being playing everything close to the chest as always, but we're hoping to see a first game action for Lamar since him getting knocked out with a concussion in the playoff loss to the Bills in divisional round last year. We've seen him in practice. He's zinging balls. Mark Andrews is proud and happy. His teammates are happy. He's flying around the field. Mark Andrews actually said, 10 days? What 10 days? He didn't even like the loss step. He's motivated. He's focused. And a focused and motivated Lamar spells trouble for everybody, because if he can return to 2019 form and then some, look out. Sky's the limit for everybody here in Baltimore. So we'll see how it plays out for Saturday night preseason game number 2. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose, as Brandon always loves to say, but always say add to that and can't get injured or shouldn't get injured or don't get injured. And hey, why don't we win the game? Why don't we get that 19th win? How's that sound? Streak's alive. Keep that alive. But until then, enjoy the rest of your week, Ravens Nation. We appreciate all you do tuning into the call, making it for what it is. Baltimore Ravens, Flock, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.